Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Ein Zayin. We begin on Daf Ein Zayin Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah Kisru V'Tnugit L'Ishti Im Leibos Mekan V'Adjad Beis Chodesh. So as we learned in the previous shir, the Mishnah speaks about two cases. First, the Mishnah speaks about a case, Kisru V'Tnugit L'Ishti Im Leibos And the next case that the Mishnah speaks about is Kisru V'Tnu Get Lishti and Leibosim Kam Yud Beis Chodesh, where we have Machloek Tanakam and Rabbi Yosi if the get was written before 12 months. And as the Rishonim explain what we're going to learn now in the Gemara. In the second case, and the Gemara is going to say it in a moment, Rabbi Yosi holds that since the husband never explicitly said that the get has to be written before 12 months are up, so therefore if the get was written before the 12 months, as long as it's only given after, it's fine. In the first case, Rabbi Yossi doesn't disagree with the Tanna Kamma in the Mishnah. The question is, does he truly not disagree, or does he disagree even in the first case? In the first case, it's very clear that the husband's instructions were that not only the delivery of the get should not be before 12 months were up, but even the writing of the get shouldn't be before that. So the Gemara's question, according to Rabbi Yossi, is the main issue is the delivery of the get. So the Gemara's considering that perhaps Rabbi Yossi holds that even if the husband says that the get should be written before after 12 months, it doesn't make a difference if it's written before, because that's not really what's the crucial issue here. The crucial issue is the delivery. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi will say it's valid there. Or Rabbi Yossi will say you have to follow the instructions. And therefore, if the get was written before the 12 months, where the husband said the get should be written after 12 months, it won't be a valid get. And that's the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yamila Ravashi. Lema Kosov Rabbi Yossi. Should we say Rabbi Yossi holds Kosov get atnai, that even if he wrote the get before the husband said that the get should be written, kosher, it's still kosher, because the main point is the delivery. Says my loy, loy l'mlach pasul. If you didn't follow instructions, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that the get is invalid. V'shani hacha, it's only in the second case where the husband did not clearly indicate that he wants the get written only after 12 months. Midala havele meima. What the husband, if he meant that the get should not be written until 12 months is up, he should have said in Libasa Kisru V'Tnu, if I don't come before 12 months, then write and deliver the get. Rather, what he said was Kisru V'Tnu Im Libasi. So there we can interpret that he, the husband himself, doesn't care when the get is written. Hachikamer. And perhaps what the husband was saying, Kisru Ma'achshav V'Tnu Im Libasi. Get write it now, but only the giving should be after 12 months. So as we finish this piece of Gemara, this is the summary. In a case where the husband's instructions are clear, you have to follow the husband's instructions, not only regarding the delivery, but even regarding the writing. In a case where the instructions are not clear, so there Rabbi Yossi says, since writing the get before the 12 months is not a violation of what the husband said, because the husband wasn't clear that the get should not be written before then, you're right or allowed to before 12 months. Whereas Rabbanu will hold, it's clear that the husband didn't want there should be a get before the 12 months is up, and that's why not only do you have to hold off on the delivery of the get, but you also have to hold off on the writing of the get. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, if somebody wrote a get and he says, La'acha shvua, the get should be delivered after Shemitah, says the Gemara Shana. What it means is they have to wait a year after the Shemitah to deliver the get. And like Taisha says, it makes no difference at what point of the Shemitah cycle this statement was made. The halacha is you have to wait. If he says, L'acha shana, the get should only be delivered after a year, you have to wait a chodesh. You have to wait a month after the year is up. L'acha chodesh, if you say after a month, you have to wait Shabbos, one more week. L'acha Shabbos, if somebody said a get should be delivered after Shabbos, my, what is the din? Yosef of Zeru Kamed Rav Asi, Ramel Rav Asi Kamed Rav Yochanan, V'Koma, Chad B'Shaba, Trey V'Tlosa, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are considered Bosa Shabsa, are considered after Shabbos, Av v'chamisho mal shapsa, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, kam shapsa. And therefore, if somebody said achre Shabbos, you have to wait until Wednesday. And as the Rosh Hashanah explained, why when somebody said a year, do we wait a month? Why when somebody said a month, do we wait a year? And here we wait 3 days. So Farshim say, a year is measured by months. A Shemitah cycle is measured by years. A month is measured by weeks. So when somebody said l'achr, he meant that amount of time to be added. Shabbos is a day of the week. It's not measured by days. It's measured as an independent identity, Shabbos. And therefore, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are considered a continuation of Shabbos, and the rest of the week is considered before Shabbos, which has very serious halachic ramifications. The question comes up, if somebody didn't make Havdalah Matzoy Shabbos, till when can he make Havdalah? So the Pais can use this Gemara to teach us that he can make Havdalah until Tuesday. The Pais can ever say, when we say till Tuesday, means till Tuesday. Tuesday night, you can't make Havdalah anymore. Furthermore, if somebody didn't make Havdalah by a Matzoy Shabbos, and he's making Havdalah during the week, he only says Baruch Pri HaGofen and Baruch HaMavdol. B'samim and Ner can only be done Matzoy Shabbos. The same, the Halacha teaches us that somebody's supposed to do Shnayim Mikrevech V'Targum, and preferably it should be done by Shabbos. So many Paiskim say, if you got delayed and you did till Tuesday, you're still fine. I saw, interesting, Shaila, what about Lav Malka? If you didn't eat Lav Malka, Matzoy Shabbos, could you continue eating Lav Malka later? And the truth is, it's a Shaila that comes up. Because if Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday, so you can't eat Lav Malka, Matzoy Shabbos, it's Tisha B'Av. So when we're learning now that there's a makeup for Havdalah, for Shnai Mikrevech HaTargum, what is the din regarding Lav Malka? So the Paiskim say that the right thing to do, Bechlal, is to eat Lav Malka until four Shah Zmanis after Shabbos, or till Chatzos. But if you didn't, so some Paiskim say you could eat Lav Malka on Sunday still, or Monday, like our Gemara says. Other Paiskim, I saw a very interesting minig. Others say, specifically in the Shah that we brought up, where Tisha B'Av was on Sunday, they should, Shal Shudas should be broken into two parts. One part you should eat as Shal Shudas, and one part you should eat as Lav Malka. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi speaks about the following case. If somebody says Lacha Regel, that the get should be effective Lacha Regel, what does that mean? Shloish Miyom. You have to wait for 30 days after Yontif. Nafak Rav Chia, Darsh Mishmei the Rebbe, he said this in the name of Rebbe, in the name of an individual, just Rebbe, for Kosua. And he was praised for saying it. And as the Rishonim explained, because the people really didn't agree with this Psak. So if it was being reported in the name of an individual, so it's a Psak that they said we're not going to accept. Therefore, when it was said Mishmei the Rabbim, when it said in the name of a Rabbim, so now they're going to have to accept it, and they didn't think it should be accepted, Lo Kosua. Amma, because obviously less Hilchus Kalasei. So what is the halacha? If somebody says achar regel, so I saw many different opinions. One opinion is that it's just like Shabbos, the 3 days after Yontif. Another opinion I saw, 15 days. Another opinion I saw, very muhammadig psak, is you have to take the amount of days there are from this Yontif, from Sukkot, let's say, to Pesach, and divide them in half. The first half are considered still connected to the previous Yontif, and the second half are already considered to the next Yontif. Says the Mishnah, Azari get Lishnah. As we're going to learn in the Gemara in a moment, the proper way of giving a get is as the Torah teaches us, with Nasan B'yada, give the get into the woman's hand. But our Mishnah discussed when that wasn't done. Says the Mishnah, Azari get Lishnah. If somebody throws a get to his wife, and she's in her home, when a chotzer, I raise him a gereshes. So as Rashi and the Rishonim explain, and we've said this many times, there are two types of properties that a woman brings into a marriage. There's nichsei melug and nichsei tzon ba'azel. Nichsei tzon ba'azel means that really the property becomes the husband, but they're assessed at the time of the marriage, and when the marriage terminates, whatever the amount it was worth at the time of marriage, that's what she's entitled to. Nichsim Malug, on the other hand, remain the wives. And the husband is only entitled to the produce and the profit of that field. So Rishonim point out, if this piece of property is a Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel property, it's certainly not her property. And since it's certainly not her property, it's not considered B'toch Beis or B'toch Hatzera. The property that our Mishnah is referring to that's considered B'toch Beis or B'toch Hatzera is the Nichsei Malug. However, says the Mishnah, Zorko B'toch Beis Soy or B'toch Hatzera, the get was thrown into his home, to his chatzer. I feel he ima b'mita, even if she's in the bed that the get is delivered to, and immigrations because it's not her property. Says the Mishnah, l'tach cheka, l'tach kalfa, if the get was thrown into her lap or into her basket, harez immigrations, and we'll discuss this more in Shem and tomorrow's share. Ask the Gemara menonimili that a get that wasn't delivered strictly into the woman's hand is still valid. The Tana Abonin, not from the other. The Torah says that the get should be put into her hand. Any other yoder, which teaches us that the get has to be put directly into her hand. Gago chatzer v'kafifa minayim. How do we know if the get is put into her roof, or her chatzer, or karfif, her field, minayim? Tamalaymer v'nosan, mikom makan. And the Farshim explain, how do we know this from this pasuk? So there's a number of explanations amongst the Rishonim. So Rashi seems to learn the Torah could have written Yitnena biyada. The fact that Torah says V'nasan biyada is a proof that it doesn't dafka have to be in our hands. Tosfos learns we learn it with a klal or prat, a klal. V'nasan is a klal, biyada is a prat, v'shilcha mebeisa is a klal, and therefore klal or prat, a klal is very broad application that doesn't have to be a hand. Others say we learn it from the Torah saying v'nosim b'yada instead of saying v'som b'yada. Other Rishonim I saw say, why does the pasuk say v'nosim b'yada? The Torah said v'nosan lo. And a fifth shot that the Yerushalmi says is that the Torah uses in that parasha the word v'nosan twice. Why does the Torah use the word v'nosan twice? To teach us it doesn't have to be in our hand. Says the Gemara, V'tani nami hochi gabi ganef. And we have a similar braisa regarding a ganef. Gona, yodoi, enle el yodoi. We only know that if he actually stole it, gaga chatzera v'kafifa minayin, that it's also considered geneva, tamaloyma, himatzi tamatzi mekamakim. And here we have a very fundamental machloikis ha-mefarshim rishonim. What does it mean, ganef? The machna frayim says ganef means as follows, very bechiddush. Machna Frayim says that let's say somebody's item, his animal, wanders into my field, and I intend to steal it, I'm considered a ganef. That's what the Brice is teaching us. Most Rishonim disagree with the Machna Frayim because they say I haven't actually done anything, and why should I be considered a ganef? So therefore Rashi says the case that the Brice is referring to is that the animal wandered into my chotzer, and I closed the door. So I did an act of kinyan, and that's considered a geneva. Tosfos says that's not what it means. Tosfos says that the animal wandered into my property, and I gave it a clap with a stick. That's an act of kinyan. So some mefarshim say there's really no machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. They're just giving different examples of how the ganef accomplishes the kinyan. However, Issa Zalman says that the way to understand the Gemara is the way to understand the opinions of Rashi and Tosfos is as follows. Tosfos, he says, is being more machmen than Rashi. According to Tosfos, to be considered a Maisa Geneva, you have to do an act in the item that you're stealing. And therefore Tosfos says you have to do Hikisha B'map, you have to actually hit the animal. Rashi is more lenient, and Rashi says as long as you close the door, it's enough. That means, according to Rabbi Issa Zalman, Rashi would agree with Tosfos. It's just Tosfos that doesn't agree with Rashi. So how do we know from this pasuk that this is acceptable? So some say because the pasuk uses the word himatzei timatzei, double lashon. Others say, here too, it's a situation of a klal prat to klal. Ask the Gemara, v'tzricha, why do we need the pasuk to teach us the same din, both by get and by geneva? Says the Gemara, v'yesh min get, if I only had a pasuk to get, v'shundu b'kolch megusha. Since a woman can be divorced against her will, av ganef, the leis about karcha emaloi. So Farshim asked, what does being divorced by Karka have to do with this thing? So they explain. Perhaps, as we've discussed many times, to effect a proper kinyan, we have to have the das, the consent of the buyer and seller. And therefore, when an animal just wandered into my property, that's not really considered a strong maisa kinyan. But for a get, where a strong maisa kinyan is not required. Why? Because we see that you can divorce a woman bal karcha. Therefore, even gaga chatzera are enough. On the other hand, v'yashmin and ganef, if we only had it then by ganef, mishum dekant say rachmona. This person did a terrible thing. He's stealing. So the Gemara is teaching us that we punish him, that he's considered a ganef, with all the repercussions of being a ganef, even with gaga chatzera kafefa. Avaget, nobody did anything wrong when they got divorced. Emoloi, therefore tzricha. Ask the Gemara back to the Mishnah. Chatzera, the Mishnah says that if the get falls into the woman's chatzer, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, how does the woman have her own chatzer? Mashakon si'isha konabalab. And as the Mefarshim explained, there's a machloikis, Rashi, and Rambam. When you have a property that has a landlord and a tenant, who is considered the real owner from the halachic perspective? Rashi says the tenant. So now we can understand the Gemara's question according to Rashi very well. Yes, we're talking about Nechsim Malog, like we explained when we learned the Mishnah. But since, as we learned in the Mishnah, the payers of the Nechsim Malog belong to the husband, so he's the tenant. So how is it considered her property that it could be considered an effective means that the get was delivered to her? But now, as the Mefarshim, the Tzais and other Mefarshim, according to the opinion of the Rambam, that it's the owner, the landlord, who halachically is considered the owner. So she is the owner. It's on Nechsim Malog. So why is the Gemara asking what's the issue here? So the Tzais answers that even the Rambam, who always says that the halacha views the landlord as the real owner, the halacha agrees here regarding Gittin, which we've learned and will learn, there's a concept of krisus, has to be a total break. He certainly is a party in this property because he's the tenant, and therefore it doesn't affect krisus. That's the Gemara's question, according to the Rambam. Another explanation in explaining the Gemara is as follows. Yes, the Rambam holds that we have a landlord and a tenant, Machna Frayim says this pshat, that we have a landlord and a tenant on a property, the halacha views the landlord as the real owner. Regarding whom does the halacha view him as the real owner? Regarding the rest of the world, regarding a third party. So if third parties views this piece of property, there's a landlord, there's a tenant. Who is the real owner? Says the Rambam, the landlord. But when the landlord and tenant are doing business with each other, there we can't say that the landlord is the only relevant party and the tenant is nobody. Here we're talking about the husband and the wife. So as far as the husband who gets the payrus, we can't say that the wife is the sole owner of the chatzar. And therefore the Gemara is asking, how would this get be effective? Answers the Gemara. Amar Beloza, the kosel adin advarm ele b'nechasayich. The husband relinquished his rights to this property. Ask the Gemara, v'ki kosel ahachi. And if he said this, or some Rishonim say, even if he wrote, said it, he wrote it, my have it. Does it have any halachic validity? The Gemara says that if somebody says, I'm relinquishing my rights, it's a meaningless statement. So why by him saying it doesn't make a difference? Why is it a meaningless statement? So one pshat I saw from the Rajbam. The Rajbam says, you know, this is like a tefillah. I wish I didn't have this property. But it doesn't really have any halachic meaning. Others say he owns the actual property. For him to relinquish rights in the property, he has to actually do a real halachic act of relinquishing rights. Just saying, Yadim Selekus Mimena doesn't mean anything. So why is it valid here? Answers the Gemara, Amr Debeir Reb Yonai, Bekosel of Oidarusa. When is the halacha that this isn't adequate? When he doesn't really have the property. When does a husband received the rights to his wife's property, to the Nechsim Malog, only after Nisuin. But here, there was only Erisin. And since there was only Erisin, this is a valid language. And as the Mefarshim explain, there are three different stages. Before they even had Erisin, for him to say this, it's a meaningless statement. Who are you? You're not married. Once they already had Nisuin, as the Gemara clearly tells us, this isn't going to be good enough. Here we're referring that there was Erisin, so there is a connection between the husband and wife. However, he hasn't obtained the rights to these properties, because they're not yet married, and therefore this would be a valid language. And says the Gemara, Kid Rav Kahana, Dom Rav Kahana. And Tosfos says, what we're trying to prove for Rav Kahana is that somebody can make a statement about something that he didn't get. Because the question is, as we're learning, if she's an Arusa, if there's only Erisin, and he didn't receive rights to this property, so how can he make statements? So it's a Dovah Shalab al-Oilam. So Gemara says you can make such a statement. Rav Kahana, Dom Rav Kahana, Nachla Abol al-Odom Makam Acher, a Yerusha that's coming to a person in Makam Acher, Odom Masna Lashla Yerushana. What is a Nachla Abol al-Odom Makam Acher? So the Machlokes was showing him how to understand this. Some say there's a difference between a Yerusha, that somebody's a Yerush Daraisa, versus where somebody's an only a Yerush Darabonim. Others say there's two types of Yerusha. A Yerusha that a son gets from his father, as soon as you're born, you're entitled to that Yerusha. A Yerusha that a husband gets from his wife, he doesn't get it automatically, he had to do something. He had to get married. And therefore, this distinction, that he could say that I don't want that Yerusha, by a Yerusha Darabonim, or Yerusha of a husband for the wife. And we follow, and we have Rava saying the same thing. Dami Rava, Ha'imer, if somebody says, if somebody says, I'm not interested in Chazal's Takana, Kigoyin Zu, as we're going to see, Sherman Lai. What is the example? My Kigoyin Zu, Hunam Rav. Dami Rav Hunam Rav, even though we know that the husband is halachically obligated to support his wife, Yechol Ishish Taim Lebala, a wife has a right to say to her husband, "Ein zaynus vein oisa." I'm giving up that right. Similarly, here that's exactly what happens. That what's pshat? Why can a wife say it? So Mefarshim explain: every day a husband has a new obligation to support his wife, and a wife could say, "Till now you supported me. From now on, I don't want it. It's a new obligation." And since the obligation hasn't yet kicked in, she has a right to say it. Similarly in our Gemara, since they're only an Arusa, he has a right to say, I don't want to have anything to do with this property, and that's when if he throws the get into that property, the get will be a good get. I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Paskins Laloch Lamaisa, based on this concept of Ein Nezonos V'Ein Oisa, a very interesting halacha. We know that when somebody's sitting Shiva, he's not supposed to work, he's not supposed to really have business during that time. We also know, Koma Shekon Tzisha, Konabala. So let's say somebody, Rechman Otzlon, is sitting Shiva. So how could his wife go to work? Whatever she earns is his. And he's not earned that week, he's in Shiva. Says of Shlomo Zalman, what the wife should do is tell her husband, Eini Nezoinis Ve'eini Oisa. Our Gemara just taught us that a wife can make that decision anytime she wants. Therefore, the money that she earns doesn't go to him, and she could go to work. I also saw that the Mefarshim used this concept of any Nezoinus for any Oisa to explain a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, "Chal isha chachma slave," the women who were very smart, "tova be'izim," they wove for the proiches, for the covering of the Mishkan. So the question is, what great wisdom is involved in weaving? So Mefarshim say the women were weaving for the Mishkan and they wanted to donate. They can't, because the halacha is Koma Shekon Tzisha Konabala. I can't give away something that doesn't belong to me. A wife can't give it away, it's not hers. So what did they do? Before they began weaving, they said Eini Nezoinus V'Eini Oisa. So the husband doesn't have a right to their Masi Yadayim, and therefore they had the right to donate it to the Mishkan. Rav Amma, Ota Yoda Mila Kanya Lelabal, asks Rava, if this is the reasoning we're going to take, so then how would a get be effective if you put it into the wife's hand? The wife belongs to the husband. Ella, we have to say a new explanation. Why a get is effective when it comes into a woman's hands. Gita v'yadoi b'ayin ke'echad. Her get and her independence come simultaneously. And we'll say the same thing regarding a chatzar. Hachinami gita v'chatzera b'ayin ke'echad. And that's why it's effective. And again, the Tzais explains why do we say gita v'yadoi b'ayin ke'echad strictly here versus anywhere else. So he explains, where we need a regular act of kinyan, a seller, a buyer, so we can't say it. But get, given its unique characteristic that we discussed in Amun Aleph, that it can be given by karcha, therefore we could say get of yadik ben kechad. Ask the Gemara, Amle Ravina Rav Ashi, Rava Yadi Ish Kakashale. I don't understand Rava's kasha. Ned Kanilele Masi Adel. Yes, a woman's hands, what she earns, belongs to the husband. Yadu Gufa Mikanale? Does he own her? So the simplest pshat that I always enjoy saying when we learn the Gemara is that husband doesn't own a wife. He doesn't own her hand. And therefore, what's the Gemara saying? That he owns her hand, that she doesn't have an independent hand. But Taisus asks that he doesn't own the property either. He only owns payrus. As we've been learning, we're talking about Nichsi Malug. He only gets the payrus of the Nichsi Malug. He doesn't get the property itself. So why are we saying that he owns the property? So Taisus says you can't compare the two. And the way Rabbi Kiva Ege explains Taisus' territory is as follows. The work that a woman does with a hand doesn't emanate from a hand. She works with her hands, and now she has what she earned. The payrus come out of the property. And therefore the husband's ownership of the property is a lot greater than the husband's ownership of his wife's yad, and therefore we can't compare the two. That's Taisus' mahalach. Others say, based on the previous Gemara, a wife always has the right to say, any nizonis v'ani oisa. You're not entitled to what I earn. So therefore the husband's ownership of the wife's yad is extremely weak. But the wife can't say that you're not entitled to the payrus of my menuchas malug. And therefore his ownership of the chatzar is a lot greater than his ownership of the yad. Says the Gemara, Amlei Rava. So Rava said, you're right. You can't compare yad to chatzar. Rava never meant to ask that. Rava had a different question. Yada evit kakashale. Rava goes back to something we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. Lamanda amr b'shter al yidei atzmai. At the beginning of our Masechta we spoke about freeing an evit. And how was an evit freed? By putting a shtar shikhr into his hand. Asked Rava, yad rabbi, yad evit ki yad rabbi. So what are we accomplishing? It says the Gemara, al gita v'yada b'yin kechad. There we have to say the concept of gita v'yada b'yin kechad. So now says Rava, once we established this halachic principle by an evid, where there we have to establish it, because the yad of an evid is completely owned by the owner, hachnami, so now we say the same thing by a chotzer, gita v'chatzer b'yin kechad. Says the Gemara, ha'u shchimera, the kossel gita l'dvisa, there was a shchimera that wrote a get for his wife, the Hadi Panya de Mal Shapsa, on Friday afternoon. However, for Lahispik Lamesavla, but he didn't have time to give it to her on Friday. Lemacher Takif Le Alma. On Shabbos's situation deteriorated. And they wanted to get them divorced, because as we've been learning, we wanted to avoid Yibam Chalitza for the wife. Osla Kameh de Rava. So they came to Rava. So the way most Mepharshim explain the Gemara is as follows. Even though, number of very important points, even though we know Divrei Shchimerak Ksuvim Kamsurim Dami, so we don't even need a kinyan. Here a kinyan is required. Why is a kinyan required? Because when do we say Divrei Shchimerak Ksuvim Kamsurim Dami? When does it take effect? After the Shchimerai dies. But here we don't want the get to take effect after he dies. As we've learned so many times in the previous parak, and get Lachemisa, it's going to be too late. So we need that the get should be effective. But he can't give the get to the wife. Why can't he give the get to the wife? Because the get is muksa. And giving the get to the wife is, you're not allowed to give, actually pick up the get and give it to the wife because it's muksa. The Pais can explain why is a get muksa. Because nobody's going to use a get for any other purpose than a get. And therefore it's muksa. The Pais can, however, say, very interestingly, that in the time, the Rishonim says this, in the times of Chazal, a get was muksa. In the times of the Gemara, a get was muksa. Because Torah Shebapeh wasn't written. So the only time somebody wrote a get was actually to deliver a get. But nowadays, the Torah Shavapeh, we know, is written. So get is not muksa, because a get is like a piece of Torah. Let's say we're learning Masechta Gittin, and we want to know how a get, what is the nusach of a get. We're allowed to hold a get in order to learn it, similarly to ksuba. We're allowed to pick up a ksuba on Shabbos, because we want to know the proper way of writing and looking at a ksuba. But in those days, a get was muksa. So we have a problem here. The get was written from Friday, but he wants to deliver it on Shabbos, because we don't know if he's going to make it till after Shabbos, but he can't touch it because it's muksa. Now the Mefarshim ask a different question. If the get was written on Friday and it's being delivered on Shabbos, so why don't we have a problem with the date? You have to write the right date in the get. So I saw two answers. One answer is that he wrote the get late Friday afternoon, recognizing that he won't be able to deliver the get on Friday, and he wrote the date of Shabbos into the get. One teretz. Another teretz goes back to something that we learned early in the Masechta. Yes, the preferable way of writing a date in a get is to write the real date, the date of the month and the date. But the halach is, if you don't write that kind of detail, just write the month and the year, it's acceptable. And that was the date. The way the date was written, there wasn't a specific date included. So, how do we get this get? Give it to her. Amalei, zila amalei, likne la nirle lahu duchta, let her take ownership of that place, the Yosaba Gita, that where the get is, the tazel iya, the tazel iya, the tazel iya, the tazel iya. In other words, what we should have here is that the shchimera, the get's written in a room that the shchimera owns. He should say to the woman, I'm being makna, I'm selling to you this piece of property, and she should do a kinyan. What is the kinyan? Opening and closing the door. The Tnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, says Masechta Basra, no, God, the Paretz Kashu, doing any act of acquisition is considered a Reza Chazaka. It's considered a Kinyan. So, the Mefarshim explain. And once she takes ownership of the room, she will take automatic ownership of the get, which is in the room. So there's a number of points that we need to understand. First of all, what kind of Kinyan is this? So we have a Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. Rashi says it's a Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav is, since she's taking ownership of the room, she's also going to take ownership of the get. The problem with Rashi's Pshat is that if it's a Kinyan Agav is valid even if the thing I'm, the metatlin I'm buying with the chotzer doesn't have to be there. So why does the case have to be that the get is in the room? Doesn't even have to be in the room. So to that, the Mefarshim defend Rashi's opinion that Kinyan Agav normally doesn't require that the metatlin I'm buying with the karka be together. But here we're talking about a get, where the Torah is so specific about nasim biyada, a greater degree of delivery. For, even for Kinyan Agav, the metatlin have to be in a chatzar. Tosfos learns it's not a Kinyan Agav, it's a Kinyan chatzar. So now the Mefarshim ask the obvious question. So we're telling her to make a Kinyan. You're not going to make a Kinyan on Shabbos. So what's the reason we're being lenient? Because it's a serious situation. He's a shchimera. So we're going to be lenient. So be lenient about Hilchos Muksa. For the same money. So Mefarshim answer. The Rashba answers a simple teretz. The Rashba says, doing a kinyan, opening and closing a door, is not that obvious. When you pick up something that's Muksa, it's much more obvious. So we try to do the Isser, which is a lot less noticeable. Another teretz is, that interesting teretz is that when you open and close the door, it's automatically valid. By picking up the get, it only becomes valid when it's properly delivered. So let's say she'll pick up the get, and then he changes his mind and doesn't want a divorce. So it will turn out that he picked up muksa without any heter. The Rishonim also debate exactly how is the kinyan done by opening and closing the door. So I saw a number of opinions. Some say either open or close is good enough. Others say opening is not enough because opening is not really considered a real act. You have to have closing. And others say you need to have both, opening and closing. However, the Mefarshim do point out, the Paiskim do point out, that you don't have to have more than opening and closing, because if you would need to have that they actually create a door, that would be Asur and Shabbos. So either opening or closing, closing alone or opening and closing, Machlokes her paifkim. Amle Rav Ish L'Rava. How does this work? Mashakan Sisha Kanabala. So how could this work? Even if we're trying to give her ownership of this property, Ichsif. So he got embarrassed because he didn't have an answer. L'Soif Igla Milsa. But then it turned out that Rusa Hava, that she was an Arusa. An Amma Rava, an Amma bin Nesua. If you have a problem by a Nesua, that everything that Kamashakan Sisha Kanabala, Yamir Berusa. And therefore, since she's an Arusa, and we kick in what we learned earlier in the Masechta, earlier in the Shir, that she could say, that he could say, Yadu Misalaksmana, I don't want to have anything to do with a property, and therefore she could take ownership of a property without his involvement. Hadam Rava, and then Rava said, you know what? Doesn't make a difference. Loshna Arusa, Loshna Nesua. Because we have the concept, which we established earlier, Gita Vechatsera Boin Kecha. Ask the Gemara, Vama Rava Mikara. What was Rav's kasha? Rav is the one earlier in our Amud, top of the Amud, that established this concept of Gita v'chatzer b'ayin kechad. So what was his kasha? Says the Gemara, ki amr Rav. You know when Rav taught us this halacha of Gita v'chatzer b'ayin kechad? It wasn't just that he said a halacha in the Beis Medrash and now it should be applied. It was regarding this story. A high mice amr. They had this story. They had this question. And that's when Rav was mechadish the din of Gita v'chatzer b'ayin kechad. So, said the Mishnah, that if she's in our home and the husband throws the get into the house, the get is a valid get. It has to be she has to be physically there. How far does physically there mean? Some Rishonim say that she has to be actually in the house. Actually in the chatzar. Others are more lenient. They say as long as she's near the chatzar, near the house, it's enough. Rabbi Oshia Omar, I feel a bit feria, the chatzar b'tzipayri. It makes no difference if she is far away. And Mufarshim explained, Tferi and Tzipayri had two characteristics. Number one, they weren't near each other, and they also different sea levels. So they're really far away. Wehi b'tzipayri b'chatzar b'tferi, megarashis. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav Oshia defend his opinion? Didn't our Mishnah say that he betarch beis and betarchet seruktani? The Mishnah said expressly that she has to be there. It says the Mahach Kama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Vehi k'maysh betarch beisoy, vehi k'maysh betarchet seru. It doesn't mean that she has to be physically there. It has to be as if she's there. What does that mean? The kivin, the chatzar mishtameres ledata. If she's in control and making sure that this is a protected property. Him is gereshes. It's going to affect a gereshin. So as long as it's a private property, it's enough. I saw interesting machloikas achroinim. How far is a property considered protected? Some paiskim say it has to be completely fenced in to be considered mishtameris. The nesivis is more lenient. He says if it has a fence around the whole property and has a door and the door is open, that doesn't create a situation that's not mishtameris. So what is the basis of the machlokes ulin rabbi shia? The masava chotzer mishum yadim is rabbi. The why is a get in a chotzer effective? Because it's considered like a hand. Or masava chotzer mishum slich is rabbi. So if it's a yad, your hand is with you. Shlichus, by definition, your shlich is not with you. Says the Merloi. That's not the way to understand it. Kula alma chotzer mishir yad misraboy. That chotzer is considered like your yad. So what is the machlokes? Masover ula holds ki yada. The chotzer has to be identical to your yad. Ma yada b'smucha. Your yad is right next to you. Af chatzeroy b'smucha. Your chotzer has to be right next to you. So says the Gemara, if you're going to take that kind of line of reasoning, nobody is attached to his chatzer. El kiyoda ma, and that's ma yoda mishdameris ledata af chatzer mishdameris ledata, where she can choose it lechferchi chatzer mishdameris shloi ledata. So the machlokes here is reduced to how do we view a yad? Do we look at the physical characteristic of a yad? So the yad is near me. So for my chatzah to be effective, I have to be near the chatzah? Or do we look at the halacha concept, that the yad is like a shliach, and just like a shliach doesn't have to be here, a yad doesn't have to be here? Some Mefarshim ask, how can we consider a chatzah a shliach? A person is a shliach. A chatzah is not a shliach. So the Pnei Yeshua says, it doesn't mean to say that a chatzah is mamish a shliach. What the Gemara means to say is that the halachic concept that allows shlichas to work will allow a chatzah to work, but not that they're exactly identical. Says the Gemara, Hu gav dezark la gita ledvisa. Somebody threw a get to his wife, have a time of the chatzah, and they were in the chatzah. Ozel gita, nafal v'pisla. There was some sort of a stand in the chatzah, and the get fell onto the stand. Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, chazina. We have to evaluate. I have a Abba Amos al Abba Amos. If this stand is 4 Amos by 4 Amos itself, Polag Lay Rishus Lanafshei, it's considered independent Rishus, and the get won't be valid. Viloy, but if it's not Dalad Dalad, Chadar Rishusahi, it's considered part of the Chatzar, and therefore, since as we've been learning, throwing the get into the Chatzar is valid, this will be a valid get. Says the Gemara, B'mayaskinim. Exactly what was the story there? Elam b'chatz dida, that she owns the chatzar, ki have a dalad amis. Even if it is dalad by dalad, my hava, it's all her chatzar. Ella b'chatz dida, it's the husband's chatzar. Ask the Gemara, ki loy have abba amis my hava, and if it's not dalad amis, it will be acceptable. As we learned in the previous Gemara, the only time the get is effective, if we're throwing it to a chatzar, the Mishnah taught us, it has to be her chatzar. So if it hits chatzar, what's the difference? It will not be effective. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzrich, the case is as follows. The Ersh L'mokim, the chatzar is his, but he gave her rights to this chatzar in order that she should be able to receive the get. And the Gemara is teaching us, the Chad Mokim Mushli Inshi, when a husband lends to his wife or gives over to his wife a piece of property that she should be able to receive the get, he only gives her one piece, Trei Mokim Mushli Inshi, but not two pieces. And therefore, if the pesel, if the stand is less than dalad al dalad, it's considered part of the property that he gave her over that she should be able to receive the get. But if it's dalad al dalad, then it's considered already independent, and he didn't give her that second place, he only gave her the chatzah. Continues the Gemara, however, v'layamon al d'gvayasara, that the stand is not ten tefachim tall. Aval gvayasara, if it's ten tefachim tall, that makes no difference. Even if it's not Abba Amos, why? It's considered an independent place. Furthermore, it doesn't have a special name. It's just a stand. If it has a special name, even if it's not 10 tefachim high, even if it's not 4 Amos wide, it's considered an independent place. And if it's in his chatzar, it's not part of the place that he gave over to his wife that she should be able to accept the chatz, the get. So we'll end the shir with a gevald de gevart. The pasuk says in Navi, Ezeget krisis. The pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I never wrote a get between me and Klal Yisrael. Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu write us a get? Because we're learning in our Gemara that a get is only effective if you throw the get into the chatzar of the wife. But Lashem Aretz Meloyai, the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have our own chatzar. So there's no way, halachically, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us a get. We always remain Am Hashem.